Welcome to Because the Beatles, the podcast about the Beatles, everything about the Beatles 24/8. I'm Allison.
And I'm Erica. And before we start, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, or stream us on Spotify. And if you're enjoying BC the Beatles, feel free to leave us a preferably five-star review so other Beatlemaniacs can find us.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter /X, and now TikTok too. We'll be posting videos, photos, and more from this episode and beyond. And remember, you can always email us at bcthebeatles@gmail.com. And we have a super great episode today. I'm very excited. It's about a topic near and dear to my heart, Abbey Road on the River. We're going to be talking to Melissa Brum here in a moment. But before we get into it, if you're not familiar, Abbey Road on the River is the world's largest Beatles-inspired music festival. Here's a little bit about it. Since 2002, AROTR, which, you know, lifelong fans like myself love to refer to it in its acronym, AROTR has celebrated the best in Beatles music, highlighting both Beatles tribute bands and bands that tribute the Beatles. It is spread out over 5 days during Memorial Day weekend, and now it takes place in Jeffersonville, Indiana. But when I started going to Abbey Road on the River, it started in Cleveland, Ohio. And then it migrated to Louisville, Kentucky, and finally landed at its current home. Over the years, there have been pop-up events. I know a lot of people went to it when it was in D.C. maybe 10 years ago.
It was about that. That was when I was going.
Oh, yeah?
It was hot as hell, and it was such an amazing festival.
Well, that was how it was when it was in the summertime. It used to be in August in Cleveland, and it was like right before we went back to school, and it was, oh, my God, so hot. I remember when it was so small and it was all outside. There were no indoor areas, just sun, sun, sun all day long. It's crazy. So Abbey Road on the River presents over 250 Beatles and 60s themed concerts featuring 50 bands from all over the world. It's incredible. Like any great festival, there's also a marketplace to score all of your Beatles and Beatles themed merch, along with other favorite festival staples like, come on, great food and drinks. There's a craft zone, activities for the kids. It's very interactive. There's seriously so much to do on the grounds. It's so much fun. Each year, more than 20,000 Beatles fans gather to reunite with their Abbey Road on the River fam and celebrate the music of the Fab Four. And as I was saying, like, I am such a big fan. It is such an honor to talk about it on the pod because it had such an impact on my life in high school. And I still have a lot of lifelong friends that I made there and have so many great memories with my mom and my family and family friends that all went. In fact, as we're recording, and I'm not making this up, my mom's best friend texted me and she's like, I'm cleaning out photographs and organizing. She's like, do you want this picture? And it was of a member of the Beat Trips, which was a band from Japan. I don't know if they still play, but it was so funny. I'm like, yeah, I know who that is. I have their CD still. So yeah, that's so ironic that it just happened now as we're recording this podcast. So today we're really, really excited to be joined by Abbey Road on the River marketing manager / Jill of all trades, Melissa. You do everything. We're going to talk about this year's festival and what makes it such a can't miss, splendid time guaranteed for all. I'm sorry I had to do that. Melissa, welcome officially to the podcast. We're so happy to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. We have such a history. I feel like we've talked like for the last 4 or 5 years. We've never done a podcast together. So this is very exciting.
There was a time, you know, in 2020, before the world went to shit, we were supposed to be coming to the fest and be the quote unquote official podcast of Abbey Road on the River. That obviously didn't happen because the world locked down and it sucked. So, but yeah, we've been talking forever about doing something. And I'm really, really stoked you're here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I noticed you, I know you were like, what's your official title? And it's so strange because it's changed so much over the years that now it is like creative director, as you said, or co-producer. So, but it pretty much is, yeah, it's like I pretty much do everything. I have my hands in like all the pots of everything that happens.
You are so busy. Every time I get another email from Abbey Road on the River, see another post, like, I'm like, damn, she is so busy.
Especially this time of year.
For sure. If you're listening to this later, it's April 21st that we're recording this. And Abbey Road on the River happens in a month.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We open on May 23rd. Yeah. That's
wild.
Pretty much 30 days away.
Wow.
Well, we're even more grateful you took time out. So to start out, can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Abbey Road on the River and explain to us a little bit more about what you do and your role?
Yeah, I had for years heard about it. People would rave about it and they'd be like, you got to go. It's the greatest thing ever. And I was like, yeah. Okay, sure. But I never like took it seriously. I never went until one year that my friend and I had started dabbling in remixing Beatles music. And so we sent an email to the website, Abbey Road on the River, and we wanted to do a Beatles rave. And so we got in as performers to Abbey Road on the River. And that was the first year I ever participated in Abbey Road.
Oh my
and
God.
So that was a party. That was crazy. Our sets were like 11 to 1 in the morning.
That's so cool.
That was fun. And then after that, I just came as a fan. And I'd worked in music production in my town, Madison, Wisconsin, where I'm from. And I had been working in social media and stuff like that. So when they needed a social media manager, I threw my hat in the ring and got the job. And then from there, I kind of just started taking on all these other roles and tasks because I knew how to do them. And, you know, it was like design the website and organizing all the bands and the production. And it just kind of grew from there just by way of performing and then just coming and enjoying it and then using all my skills to keep it going, you know, and keep hopefully making it better. It's hard to even explain everything that happens. It's like organizing all the bands, all their hotels, organizing all the contracts with the hotels, making deals with them, promoting everything that comes out. So all the email advertising, all the Facebook ads, all the social media posts, most of the stuff you see online, I do. If it's for print, I direct other designers to do that kind of stuff. And I could go on and on all day about everything that goes on.
Event production is a crazy thing. It's so busy, but it's so exciting.
It is. Definitely keeps it exciting.
Tell us a little bit about Abbey Road and the River itself. What sets it apart from other Beatles festivals or events that we're aware of?
Abbey Road on the River is the only all-outdoor Beatles-themed music festival that I'm aware of. Most other Beatle events are indoors or they have some kind of convention-type setting with an indoor marketplace and vendors and speakers and stuff. But ours really revolves more around the music. So we have 6 stages with just bands playing music constantly, all the time, either Beatles stuff, solo stuff, other classic rock music. And then we have our own outdoor merchandise and other like 60s inspired art vendors and art installations that you can interact with and get your pictures taken with. So in that way, we're like a full-fledged music festival. We're like not quite Coachella, but if you take an outdoor music festival and make it all Beatles themed, that's why we are so unique. And it's different than the other kind of Beatle events and even Liverpool. I mean, but they're all unique in their own way, too. So that's just what we do is really revolve it around the music and try to have music going all the time and people dancing and going crazy outside.
So do you have local artists? Because usually at the marketplaces at these kind of events, it's mostly the Apple sanctioned stuff or it's record collectors or things like that.
We have local artists that come in. Some make art out of records and they sell that. Someone just does Sharpie marker art and just makes pictures of all these different classic rock musicians. And then we have vendors who do sell used records and memorabilia from the 60s. But for our art installations, that's also done by local artists. We have a Strawberry Fields where like these 4 artists last year painted giant strawberries. And then we have those displayed. We have a giant peace tree type thing where people tie ribbons on this big, it's like a 10-foot tall peace sign, essentially. And that's all done locally also. And it's just a fun way to get people involved and interacting and trying to like emphasize the vibe of the 60s. I feel like it was like very creative that way. And everyone was like making cool things. So we're just trying to have that happen at our festival.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, in the early days, it was very like just straightforward Beatles specific, which was great. I mean, nothing bad about that. But I've noticed over the years, you guys have expanded a bit to include, you know, other artists, sort of other tribute artists to other 60s bands or singers. And this year, I saw that you guys have a tribute to the Eagles, a Joe Cocker impersonator, which I didn't even know existed. And I think that's fucking great. And Elvis. So how do you decide, or how do you find these unique performers to add to the Abbey Road on the River Pantheon?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Or do they find you?
I was going to say, a lot of the time people send in requests through our website. You know, we try to curate it in a way that nothing really, like, we don't have multiple Eagle tributes or multiple
Joe Cockers.
Yeah, right.
I would love to see the Joe Cocker lookalike contest be
so
fun.
Oh my God. Maybe next year, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Who can look the scraggliest?
No, different eras of Joe Cocker, though. That would be so great. Yes. Mad Dogs and Englishmen, Woodstock. I mean, there's so many different iterations.
Oh, this is an idea. We got it. Let's go with this.
Okay, when you start your own Joe Cocker tribute festival, I'll come to that.
Yeah, this is where you heard it here, folks.
That's funny. But yeah, in terms of when tributes reach out to us, either they have a unique idea for some show that's happening. You know, one of our bands that's been coming for almost 10 years now, I think, Classic Stone, does a Queen show every single year. And I think after their first or second year, they curated this show and they do a Pink Floyd show. And we have the Joe Cocker. I think he reached out. And sometimes we hear like word of mouth from people. Sometimes we go out and see people ourselves. So I was actually at an Elvis festival where I saw both our Elvis tributes. So I saw them perform in this competition, and the one, Brooke Wright, won the whole competition. So we hired him from that because it was like, well, we saw how good he was. And so you really just have to see either in person or on a video how good a tribute artist is to be like, that looks authentic. People will enjoy that. And we want to book that. And every year is different. We've never had an Eagles tribute band before. Actually, we've never had an Elvis tribute before. And so we're just trying to like mix it up a little bit, not have the same kind of shows and the same tributes every year. We have to incorporate different acts from the 60s in addition to all the Beatles music you hear.
Totally. And even the Beatles bands are such a variety, because I know a lot of them sort of tribute different eras. The one performer I was kind of grabbed with is Tony Kishman, who tributes older Paul, which I think is awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's so exciting. Yeah. I want to see him so much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen Paul here, but if you've never seen Paul live now or like the last 20, 30 years, he gives you that show experience, which is different than a Paul who looks like 1964 Paul. You know, right. That would never be a solo show, obviously, but yeah, we do like to represent the different eras of the Beatles. And we have three different shows just for solo Paul, John, and George, and tributes to the early Beatles, the Hamburg years.
Tell us more about Tony Kushman.
Tony Kushman's amazing. I mean, he really looks and sounds just like Paul. And we had him last year, and it went over so well with people. Then we have Drew Harrison, who does great John tribute. Jay Geppner from Chicago also does a great John tribute.
Oh, I love Jay Geppner.
Yeah. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
And Gavin Pring, who does a great George tribute. He's actually the George in the Fab Four. So
he's so good.
Gavin's like an Abbey Road River lifer. I remember, you know, meeting him for the first time in like 2003. I have like pictures of us with who was the Paul and British Export. I don't even know if British Export's still around, but that was when Chicago was like really the hotbed of Beatles tribute bands. And it was, man, those are some good memories.
Yeah.
Those are some wild times.
I know. Gavin's come. Yeah, he's come the whole time. He met his wife at Abbey Road on the River.
I know. He married a girl from Cleveland, I think. Yeah.
Oh.
So funny.
We have a lot of those relationships that have come out of
really?
People meeting at Abbey Road. Yeah. Whether they're in a band or they're just like fans who met. It's kind of cool. I mean, obviously, Beatles are all about love. So we like to facilitate that. One year we had some like pop-up wedding company come in and like officiate weddings at Abbey Road.
I was going to say,
wow.
That is awesome. I love that. I never even thought about that happening, but it makes sense. You know, where else could you actually connect IRL with Beatles fans?
Exactly.
Another thing that's really cool, in addition to different bands and artists being tributed, is that there are actual people from the 60s who are coming to the fest this year. Dean Torrence of Jan and Dean is going to be there, and The Circle, which I nerd out over because they were the only American act managed by Brian Epstein. So we love them. Mm-hmm. Also a great band anyway, in their heyday. How do you decide who to book there? Or, you know, is it sort of like, oh, I think Dean Torrance would be great this year, or he's on tour, or, you know, how does that kind of happen?
Well, every year we try to do something different. Because it is the 60th anniversary of Beatlemania, we're trying to go a little early Beatles, you know, kind of the influence for the Beatles. I don't remember how we found out about Jan and Dean's Beach Party, if they were touring or how that really happened, but it was just a good fit because of that early 60s, kind of 50s influence for Abbey Road and the River, which I think some years we go kind of later, like we had Jefferson Starship, we kind of have a lot of the like late 60s or 70s tributes, and this is kind of an homage to the early stuff. Along with the Circle, Circle has come a few times. They're one of the bands that opened for the Beatles. That's like super exciting. They're awesome to work with. As you said, they were managed by Brian, so it's kind of like a no-brainer that we have them. And I don't think people really appreciate them as much as they should.
Yeah.
Because they're a big deal in like the 60s history of music.
Yeah. I know most people probably know, you know, like Red Rubber Ball, Turn Down Day, like, you know, the hits, but they are they're one of those sleeper bands where, you know, the more you hear them, the more they're just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their connection with Brian, with the British Invasion being American, is unique in this entire space. Question for both of you, really, because you're both much more into the tribute scene or were than I am. Has the scene changed over time? Like, do you have different trends in what kind of Beatles tributes are active or what kind of songs are playing or anything like that?
You know what? I think it has kind of evolved over the years. I mean, I've been involved with Abbey Road and the River since 2017, 2016, something like that. And before that, I've, you know, always gone to Beatle tribute shows. But it feels like I think there are younger bands, there must be younger tribute bands, but I don't often see a lot of them. And it's kind of changed in a way. Like, I feel like the younger bands are not going for the lookalike. They don't want to maybe dress like the Suits and Boots thing. Maybe they'll just wear like unique suits themselves, but they won't like wear the wigs, something like that, where they'll pay homage to the Beatles in a different way, in their own way. And that's what I see. I don't see a lot of younger lookalike bands, but you know, if you're out there, you should definitely email out.
Well, I guess that makes sense if you're just saying that we have an like contemporary Paul McCartney tribute now, which we probably didn't have 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly, that too.
I mean, I remember early on in Abbey Road and the River, there was a guy called Lawrence Macca who he did like 90s Paul, because I think he actually was like Paul's body double in the Know Their Baby video, if I'm remembering this correctly. Yeah, like when Paul's in the boat, I think that's him. So he used to come and he was great. I really liked him a lot. And fun fact, weirdly, I got connected with his son on Instagram and his son plays at the Cavern all the time. So it's very, I know. I was like, wait, is that your dad? I knew him. That's crazy.
The Beatles world is kind of small.
It's so crazy. It never, ever fails to like blow my mind.
It's so funny to see like generational tribute bands like In Rain, Joey Curatolo and Paul Curatolo, who have both played Paul at different times, father and son.
That's like Hard Day's Night out of Ohio, which, you know, was the band I sort of cut my teeth on in the music industry. You know, I started working for them when I was like 16, doing their website and doing promotional stuff for them. And, you know, the Muirators, Frank and Mike, are father and son, respectively. Frank plays Paul and Mike plays John. So it's a family affair, you know?
And they're still coming to Abbey Road on the River.
I love that. So from the very first year they played. Yeah. Oh,
amazing. So and they're still memories. Doing it, like a father-son, like still in the band.
I know. Yeah, Frank has been in there. I think they started in like 96. He's been in the band for the whole time. So, you know, shout out to him. God bless.
Yeah.
And he even taught himself how to play left-handed. This isn't, you know, a Hard Day's Night podcast now, but, you know, I think that's really hard. So any Paul who teaches themselves how to play left-handed is really, really committed to their craft.
Hell yeah.
I agree. And that's something we look at too, for like lookalike tributes. It's like, it has to look right. Yeah. Like when Paul and George are singing together, they have to match, right? Otherwise it's like, what?
It doesn't matter how good the Paul is. If he's playing righty, it's weird. If you're watching it, it does not work.
Right. Whenever I think of like which role would be the hardest to play, I do think it would be Paul.
Yeah.
There's so many songs to sing. You have to relearn the bass if you're right-handed. Yeah. That's a hard role.
And Paul goes around to at least two other instruments. So he's got to do a lot.
Right. Yeah. You have to know piano and
Yeah. I don't envy those Pauls. I don't know, from my perspective, I'm not as involved as I used to be. I think we talked about in the pod a little bit, but over Christmas break, I went to see a band in Liverpool, very like young guys, this band called the Savage Young Beatles. And they're like, you know, in their early 20s, I think. And they were effing amazing. So full of pep and just the rockin' vibe of like the Hamburg Years. And they did like sort of the Cavern set and the Leathers. And yeah, I mean, I think 20 years ago, they would have probably been in the wigs, matching leather suits. But I could tell they sort of like, you know, Paul sort of coiffed his hair and, you know, John had kind of the look too. But I could tell like they were going for the vibe, but it actually worked. Like it was still that suspension of belief, you know? So I guess I see it both ways. I do know of a couple of young bands who do the boots and suits with the wigs and that kind of thing, which that was definitely what I remember back in, you know, back in the day,
right?
With, you know, the bands that I sort of was friends with.
Yeah, they're definitely out there, young suits and boots bands, but I feel like it's more like the Savage Young Beatles are trying to maintain your own identity, but also be inspired by who you're playing in a way.
For sure.
And off the boots and suits, though, what about, or maybe with them, I don't know, what about women? Has the role of women musicians increased over time?
Yeah. Women, they're all over the place playing this stuff. We have a great harpist who comes and does this very unique Beatles harp show with a couple other people in her band. It's harder to get into it that way because you can't like dress like the Beatles. Yeah. You know, you have to put your own spin on it. Or you can try. Like we have a band called Penny Lane who does dress cohesively in these like suits and ties, but girls playing the Beatles. And we've had a couple bands like that over the past years who like really rock it and they bring it and it's very cool to see.
Do you expect every tribute band, now that Now and Then came out between this year's and last year's, Abbey Road and the River, is going to be playing Now and Then in some capacity?
I do. I feel like right after it came out, all these bands were posting like, were you going to be able to hear that at Abbey Road? We just learned it the day it came out, you know, and we're going to play it. And it's like, yeah, cool. Like, and then now it's a little like lost its steam where I think people are not really thinking of that song anymore, but I'm sure we'll hear it many times. Just like you hear so many songs over the weekend, you know, you're like, oh, there's Hey Jude again. Cool. Or yeah, Hey Darlin', or whatever people hear. There's always some song. I mean, we try to curate it as best we can. Like we try to curate all the set lists and all the themes. So like we don't hear that many repeats, but sometimes you can't help it. You're going to hear Lucy in the Sky 4 times in a day. Sorry.
I mean, the Beatles catalog is sort of finite and
exactly.
It is what it is. Yeah.
That's why we incorporate like all the other classic rock. You can hear like Bruce Springsteen and then you can hear another Beatles show and then you'll hear Queen and then you'll hear Elvis. There's all these shows happening all at the same time. So you pick and choose your schedule.
Yeah. And I mentioned a little bit ago at the top of the show, there are all these interactive elements. We talked a bit about the art, but what else is there for people to do besides listen to music and check out the artwork?
Good question. There's all the music happening all the time. And then we have food and drinks. We have like a lovely Rita margarita. And yeah, and like all these fancy cocktails and drinks that are inspired by the Beatles. And in addition to that, there's food and ice cream. There's a playground. So if you have families come and their kids can go play in the playground, it's right next to our two main stages. Last year, we did a Ringo Bingo card where people like got a prize if they filled it out, like saw this show, hung a ribbon on the peace tree, went and walked around this thing or whatever it was, like ate a corn dog. And they would just mark off all the things they did. And then they went to the merch booth and got a prize. We have Beatles yoga and Beatles trivia that is new. And then we have this Abbey Road crosswalk where you can take a picture like you're walking across Abbey Road. It's not as good as London, but, you know, it's the second best thing in Jeffersonville, Indiana. So
absolutely.
There's like so much to do. And we're still thinking about all these other things. Like, I want to get a scavenger hunt together. So you like go get a stamp at all these different locations around the park. You never get bored at Abbey Road.
The planning meetings must be so much fun.
The planning meetings are intense. Yeah, they are fun. They are fun.
An important question. You mentioned the food and you are in the Midwest. Are there deep fried Oreos and other wonderful deep fried fair foods there?
I need to know. Yes. Of course.
Funnel cakes.
We are an outdoor fair.
Thank God.
Yeah. Funnel cakes, turkey legs.
Elephant ears.
All the deep fried stuff.
It's making me hungry.
For people who don't really know your area of the country, it's pretty easy to get there too. Like it's not hard.
So easy. Yeah. Yeah. Whether you have to fly into Louisville, where like 2 miles away from the airport, maybe five, but still it's like so easy to just take an Uber from the airport over to your hotel and over to the festival site. And it's like within driving distance from anywhere from Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, Nashville, all over the place. But people fly in from California and Alaska and Maine. As I said, I was a skeptic at first. I was like, I don't want to drive 6 or 7 hours to this outdoor thing, you know, I'll just go to this other Beatles event, or I'll just go see that tribute band down the street or whatever. And it really is like such a difference to be like immersed in the whole sound of the Beatles all week for 5 days long. It's like crazy. After I went, I was like, oh, I get it. This is so much better.
Oh, wow. 5 days. I didn't even think about it being over the holiday weekend. Like most festivals are like 2 or 3, and there's really only Saturday. Because if it's Friday, Saturday, right. Sunday, it's ramping up Friday and it's shutting down Sunday. So you have one day.
Yeah.
In this case, Thursday is kind of the warm-up day. It's a little shorter. You know, it's more just the evening shows. And then it's all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, noon to midnight. And then Monday's a little shorter as well, just to kind of ease out of it. But it's a hardcore weekend if you're a hardcore Beatle fan or music fan of any kind.
Man, yeah, it has grown up so much since its humble beginnings on the banks of the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, I'm just so happy it's still going after all these years. And you're right. It is like a totally different vibe. You know, I haven't been in a number of years now, but I get the warm fuzzies. You know, when I think about Abbey Road and the river.
How many years did you come?
4 or 5 years. I went the first year. It was in Louisville, was my last year going.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't been in Jeffersonville, but I'm going to make it happen.
You would love it.
There will be nothing we would love more. We'll be totally like stalking the social media that whole weekend.
Are there any virtual events?
There's not. We haven't done a virtual event since COVID year. We'll go live on Facebook every once in a while for certain shows.
So in addition to the actual festival, Melissa, you know, AROTR is really active online. You're super busy. But you guys actually have your own podcast, so plug it, plug away.
We do. We have 2 seasons of our podcast. We kind of just started with interviewing all our bands and just talk about the Beatles and why people got into the Beatles. And essentially, we just are fans talking about our different stories and experiences behind how'd you get into the Beatles? Oh, what was your favorite song? And like, what album stood out to you? And you got inspired to learn guitar from the Beatles, you know. The podcast is called Something Will Happen because of a quote by Paul. I guess the Beatles got stuck on the side of the road once and their car broke down. And then Paul said, well, don't worry, something will happen. Something always happens. And we took that line for our podcast so that we were like, well, something will happen at Abbey Road on the River. And here's what you can hear.
I love it.
Yeah, I think Paul told that story in the forward to Paul McCartney, the lyrics. That's where I read it for the first time, which I only read it recently when we talked to Paul Muldoon back then. I loved that story. It made such an impact. So I love it that your podcast is named after what he said.
Yeah. So it is Beatles inspired, although I don't think many people know about that little quip he said.
It's insider baseball.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, exactly. you can go find that wherever. It's called Something Will Happen. There's a link on our website too, if you want to look there.
Sounds like a podcast that our listeners would enjoy if they are enjoying listening to us.
Well, this has been amazing. I'm so jazzed for the festival, even though we can't make it this year. But if you're out there listening and you have the ability to get yourself to Jeffersonville, you should absolutely do it. It's going to be an incredible time. So, Melissa, if people want to find out more about Abbey Run the River and how they can find tickets, where do they go and what do they do?
Yeah, so you can find everything Abbey Road related on our website at arotr.com or abbeyroadontheriver.com. They'll both get you to the same place. And from there, you can get, there's a tab called Tickets. You can go look at the lineup. The schedule is out, so you can go plan your whole weekend by clicking the schedule link. You can make an account and you can put which shows you want to go to and book your hotels from there. Follow us on social media. Our links are up there as well. We're pretty active on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. So that's where people can find out about it. And it's going to be a good one this year. Very excited about it.
Again, thank you so much for coming on the pod. This has been really fun to chat.
Thank you. This is awesome. And I love your podcast. And I have to say, it's like very inspiring that Abbey Road gets to be a guest when you have interviewed such like huge names in the Beatles world. It's a privilege. This is great. So thank you for shouting us out. I'm really excited that we get to be on your podcast. And you guys are awesome. Like what you've done with your podcast, I'm very, very inspired, very impressed. So Thank you for having us on here. I wish you could come.
I know. Next year for sure.
Gotta make it happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that. And thanks to you for listening to BC the Beatles. As always, subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening right now, and give us a rating and review so other Beatlemaniacs can find us.
And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter/X, and TikTok. We'll be posting photos and more from this episode and beyond. And don't forget to follow Abbey Road on the River everywhere that you can, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. They'll be posting photos and more from the festival and beyond. As for us, remember, you can always email us at bcthebeatles@gmail.com. And we will see you next time.
Bye.